Isolation rules will be eased for teachers and childcare workers, but there's still no national plan about the use of rapid antigen tests and masks. While school children have been on holidays, childcare centres have been crippled by ongoing COVID outbreaks, forcing snap closures of long daycare centres and quarantine for educators, children and their families. But for the moment, early learning advocates are incredulous at the new isolation rules, which they say heighten the risks for educators and families. Lisa Bryant is an advocate for education and care in Australia and a consultant to education and care services.
Look, I think families are scared, basically. They don't know if sending their child to an education care service, to a child care centre, will put both their child and, of course, them as a family at risk. They don't seem to have had any clear information from the government about what's been put in place. And they're also hearing that their education and care services are struggling financially. So I'd say the vibe is fear.
And what's the feeling among educators and the childcare sector?
I'd say fury more than anything. They feel like they've done everything that the government has asked them through the entire pandemic. They've continued to work. They've continued to front up so that the children of essential workers would always have somewhere to go, to be minded and to receive their education and care. But they already felt like they'd done that without any recognition. There's a lot of recognition in the public sphere, even for teachers, school teachers. There's recognition for health workers. There's even recognition now for retail assistants, but nobody ever mentions the childcare educators who are turning up, despite the fact that that exposes them to potentially catching COVID themselves. Children just aren't very good at social distancing, and as we know, they're vectors for illness at the best of times.
What then do the relaxed isolation rules mean in effect, and what are you expecting to happen?
A lot of services won't take up the relaxed isolation rules because, you know, if an educator has been exposed to COVID and then says to the rest of their staff, hey, it's okay, you know, I can come to work. The government said I can come to work. I think that the other educators will say that doesn't feel safe to us, and it doesn't feel safe for you to be around unimmunised children, because that's one of the key things we've got to remember here, that children under 5 years of age are the only group in Australian society that can't be immunised. The government has this weird idea that, you know, COVID somehow stops at the door of a childcare centre. It's absolutely mind-boggling.
And operationally, what will that mean for these operators, for these providers?
It means that a lot of providers are on the brink of shutting down, because although there was some measures put into place last year to give the education and care sector additional funding to help it operate even without fees coming in for parents, that's got a lot of conditions on it now. It's not enough money, and the money that they are giving is only if you have to close because a child in the service is positive, not because you can't get the staff to actually open your service.
With the shortage of staff and the existing closures that are happening under the current arrangements, with the convergence of the reopening of schools, what are you anticipating?
Look, it's going to get worse. You know, it can only get a lot worse, because as a lot of school children have younger siblings in education and care centres, as COVID goes through schools, those children will pass it on to their younger siblings, and then those young children will pass it on to educators in their childcare settings. So it's, you know, I hate to say this to any parents listening, but I'd be thinking really carefully about, if I could possibly make other arrangements for my child, I certainly wouldn't be sending them to an education and care service at this point in time, if health is the primary thing. The government tells us that it's a mild disease in children, but they forget that children are connected to families, they're connected to their educators, they're connected to everyone. That's the real danger here, that it might be mild for themselves, but what happens when that child goes home and hugs grandma or grandpa? It's scary stuff.
The chaos brought on by COVID has shed light on so many pre-existing issues in the Australian childcare sector. How would you see this being resolved? In an ideal world, how do we remedy some of this?
Okay, the first one is that we have to stop funding parents to take children to education and care centres. We need to fund the education and care centres the same way we fund our schools, because schools can continue to operate whether or not parents pay fees or not in the public system.
That's a full restructure of the billing arrangements.
It is, but, yeah. You know, it's a problem that we've known has existed for a number of years, you know. COVID's just laid it bare. The second thing is we need to do something about the workforce problems. The reason why so many centres have had to close is because we don't have enough casual staff in the sector, because why would anyone want to work in the industry in Australia that has the lowest paid wages? Educators don't get much money, you know, so they're looking after children who are, you know, are carriers of disease, and as lovely as they are, they're only getting $24 an hour, you know, in some cases for that work. It's hard work for little pay. The third thing that they can do is fix up the requirements for documentation in the sector, because educators are screaming that they're spending more and more time documenting their practices rather than looking after children. Some documentation's important, but not at the level that it's being demanded of them right now. So if those three things were fixed, we wouldn't have the loss of educators from the sector. We'd have services that would be able to, you know, cope with the ups and downs of things like COVID, and we'd have a much more resilient sector. And while they're on it, they could work out who was going to be responsible, the state or the federal governments, because half of the mess we're in is because the regulation and funding of it lies between the two levels of government. You'd never be able to run a school system the way it's done with early education and care.
That's Lisa Bryant, an early education advocate and consultant to Education and Care Services.